I have three propositions to put to you today in discussing this title, Is Perth Ready for More Than Mining? My first proposition to you is that Western Australia and Perth has a mining sector which is still maturing. No one disputes, I think, how critical mining is to Western Australia. Mining's been the key to the state's development for as long as we can remember, from the gold mining times in the beginning of this colony, which saw significant regional development, the first Chinese migrants to the state, booms and busts, and remember, it was the industry that saved the state from secession. We then saw a period of growth through the mining, through the iron ore industry expansions of the 1960s, which in its latest growth phase is bringing enormous income, opportunity, and development challenges across the state. And now we have a further phase in the development of the mining industry where now the petroleum sector has become our most prospective commodity, supplemented not only with gold and iron ore, but also with nickel, alumina, copper, mineral sands, etc. Over 50 different commodities, major mineral commodities which we export from this state, which is making Western Australia one of the most diverse, one of the most richly endowed, one of the most productive, and one of the most emerging mineral regions in the world, let alone in the Southern Hemisphere. The maturing of the mineral sector has brought stability to our economic performance, sustained growth over the past 20 years at least, with only one pothole you can find over that period, and that being in 2001, when we had the combined effects of the Asian financial crisis and SARS impact the economy, and we saw 1 year of negative economic growth. The next year, we had economic growth of over 6%. We've had breadth of economic activity from this mining sector. We have opportunity for secure long-term employment and income growth, which what we see occurring in the state today is something which we've only been able to dream of back in the 50s and 60s. Mining, as you know, now accounts for about a third of the state's output, and the state contributes more than a third of the nation's exports, predominantly on the back of mining. Yet mining represents only 1.3% of state businesses, and it employs less than 5% of the workforce. It has been primarily responsible, and this will provide a bit of a backdrop to today's discussion, for the growth in wealth in Western Australia, which has grown since 1991-92 by more than 95%. Nationally, growth over the same period has grown by 57%. So we've been doing pretty well. Of course, while all of these outcomes from mining are terrific and we should celebrate them, the sector has brought some adverse legacies, which has created a shadow, I'd suggest to you, for some of the great developments which have been occurring in other sectors. Some of these legacies are we've been known as a jurisdiction of great booms but equally deep busts, primarily because the booms were based on the expansions of a single commodity at any time. Think of gold, even think of iron ore. And we continue to live with the speculation that the so-called boom we're going through today might well end in tears. Many forecasters from the east indeed salivate about the proposition that the old quarry of Western Australia will soon be on its knees. We've had colourful entrepreneurs out of the mining sector, which has left the Wild West description of our business practices. A political class which has produced, with a couple of notable exceptions, generally mediocre leaders and left deep stains around events like WA Inc. Events which I'd say to you has really hampered the growth and development of the state because it's provided a blocker between strong relationship development between business and governments. A community culture of some uncertainty based on the depths of these downturns in our economy, and that community uncertainty has left many ambitions for our community and our city unfulfilled. And this has, I think, been reflected in a lot of short-term planning for the state and the city. Quick fixes, infrastructure which barely meets current demand, modest architecture, and that architecture which lacks a Perth brand, and a sense of poor cousins to the eastern states. And these factors, as I said, I think have constituted somewhat of a backdrop which has suggested that WA is little more than a mining town which has booms and busts. Well, the second proposition I put to you is that the rest of the economy has actually been maturing quite well under what has been quite a substantial mining shadow. Let's just park for the minute that the Western Australia will be known as a great mineral province for generations to come. It will, because we are located so nicely in what will be the growth region of the world for probably the rest of pretty well all of our lifetimes, that is, of those people represented in the room, which for me is going to be quite a long time. I hope it is for you too. It will define us. The mining sector will define us. It has to date. It'll continue to do it. And we shouldn't be frightened by that. And it will provide us with the basis from which the rest of the community will be able to grow. And as I say, we should celebrate this. But we actually have got, across this economy, other sectors which have been growing as quickly. Indeed, some sectors of the economy have actually been growing more strongly and more consistently than the mining sector for the past 20 years. Our productivity is extremely high in this jurisdiction. Innovation is a large part of our productive processes. Technological excellence is found throughout the state, and the economic structure of the economy is solid. We have, remembering how much that the mining sector represents of the business community, the other 99% of the business community is represented by over 205,000 individual businesses, which operate across the broad range and scope of Western Australia, predominantly though located in the southwest. We have a strong standard of skill across our workforce, and we have a strong standard of living. Our manufacturing sector, unlike many other manufacturing areas of this country, which is based around the Kwinana area, is doing phenomenally well. We have a shipbuilding sector at Henderson, which is growing rapidly, based fundamentally around envelope creating areas of new technological development. And it's creating a great cluster of trades in that area. We have a wine industry, God bless it, which is stamping its presence. And we have health research and technology in this state represented across a number of great institutes at world level, reflected also by our two Nobel laureates recently awarded in this state. So when you think about it, we've actually got a lot happening in Western Australia. Our mining sector has actually seen productivity growth of levels probably not seen through most other parts of the world because of technological advancements out of Western Australia. Developments like pressure testing services, remote operating technology, which we are making an art form now. Most of the Pilbara in the years to come will be operated from remote locations. Rio, for instance, are looking at doing it just out of the airport. And we can keep pointing to a range of those technological developments which is seeing productivity growth in the mining sector, which most other jurisdictions actually come to us to try and borrow. Our services sector is the largest contributor to state output, as you would expect in any modern economy. Property and business services, areas like financial and contract services, our health and community services, and our retail trade sector are standout sectors across our economy. They employ more than two-thirds of our workforce, and they account for more than a third of the state's total output. In fact, these sectors have grown faster, as I mentioned earlier, and on a more consistent basis than the mining sector has for the past 20 years. These different sectors, together with mining, are attracting many new people to the state. Many new people with new skills, with cultural differences and with traditions which are new to this jurisdiction. This enriches our community. It's great for us. And I would say to you, we must constantly welcome these people as they will be the basis from which we'll be able to grow in the years to come. And I might just say, if all of that sounds a little romantic, then I'd suggest to you, have a good look at what's happening across other sectors of the economy. And if you want to understand it more, have a look at a Chamber of Commerce and Industry publication recently put out on the profile of WA business dated 2008. It'll give you a very good insight into just what's occurring across areas of the state, in addition to mining, but also outside the mining sector. So, the third proposition is, we should facilitate the maturing of our state and not try to lead it excessively. There is a growing call for the benefits of the boom to be translated into infrastructure and associated community services or the like before the bust arrives. I'd suggest to you that's poor thinking. One of those reasons why I suggest to you it's poor thinking is because we have a long way to go in this resource upturn. Indeed, it's my view that it'll occur and stay with us and probably get stronger for the best part of the next 20 to 25 years. I can't see much further beyond that. Also, I'd say to you that when these calls are around us, we need to be careful that we don't try and make WA into something which markets will not sustain. While some of us would like to think the state might be a leading manufacturer of large volume but low cost products in the nature of what we might see coming out of China, we're never going to do that. Nor will we ever become a major financial centre of the likes of New York, London, Hong Kong or Singapore. We just don't have the critical mass to sustain such activity and we shouldn't seek it. What we should encourage, though, is the major companies of the world who have large business in this state bringing most of their people to Western Australia. BHP is doing it today. Indeed, most of the scientific skill of BHP is clustering around the Curtin University. We don't have their board, but we are, in time, going to have most of their head office. And that's fine. Their board can fly in for periodic visits. They will complement the boards of Wesfarmers, the largest employer in Australia, of Woodside, Alcoa, Rio Iron Ore, and so the list goes on. So rather than wanting to go out and create something we won't be, I suggest to you what we do have the opportunity for in this jurisdiction is the development of niche markets in many industry sectors, including finance, manufacturing, and a range of service areas. They're occurring today, and the following gentlemen who are going to speak after me are going to comment on different areas of development in their fields of expertise. So what do we have to do? Well, from a policy viewpoint, what will be best for the development of Western Australia will be to have business-friendly policies. Those policies that keep costs low, that keep markets open with minimum regulation, and which accommodate innovation. These policies are essential as we face increasing fuel costs, higher energy costs, exchange rates which may well break through parity with the US dollar, and most particularly an ageing workforce which we have never seen before. We have a long way to go in addressing each of these policy areas. Many of you have probably heard me say a lot of times before, we are not a low-cost jurisdiction. Those of you doing business in the state will know that. We have high taxes. Sorry, Eric, but we do. And we have a degree of regulatory burden which hinders our innovation and product diversification. This is best demonstrated by our desires to tell customers when and where they can shop, and until only very recently, how they might enjoy a meal with a drink in a restaurant or a bar. So we need to liberate how we do and how we run our community and our policies. We also need to be a little patient, I think, in seeing Perth mature into a vibrant jurisdiction that is attractive to retain both native West Australians and also an attractive migrants to our state. This phase of prosperity which we're enjoying is new. It's only 4 years old, and I think that's something you need to bear in mind. I can take you back to 2003, when this state, despite the growth we had across our mineral sector, had hardly a dollar to bless itself with. Indeed, in government, most of the discretionary income came from privatisation. Today, and the richness of this resource boom is such that times are clearly different, but it's only 4 years away. So we haven't been into this growth phase for a long time, but we have a long time to go. That said, I'd also say let's not be complacent. There's a large backlog of modern infrastructure and modern practices which need to be brought into the state. There are positive signs inside government, positive signs in the business community and across the community more generally. We are now talking openly in a very engaged way about how to bring the buzz into Perth. We are seeing it across our arts community, where there is a vibrancy and an interest we haven't seen before. We're also seeing it in the plans for the city. We're seeing it in terms of new desires for modern architecture, dare I even say it, iconic structures. And we have a government that's been courageous enough to say we need a major sporting arena. And while that progress is good, we need to maintain the pressure without expecting miracles overnight. So in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, I think Perth is showing all of the benefits of a strong resource sector, but a sector which is still maturing. And it will mature for many more years, and it will sustain our economy for the life of not only our children, but our grandchildren and their children. The trick now, as we go through this phase, is to get the policy settings right. The engagement across the community, in a sustained way, which will provide the environment for innovation, the development of new markets, and the creation of opportunities. Thanks very much.